If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 13. I haven't preached out of the book of Judges in a long, long time. So this message, I think, is going to be really good. I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from Judges 13, verses 1 through 5. The Israelites again did what was evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man from Zorah, from the family of Dan, whose name was Manoah. His wife was unable to conceive and had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "It is true that you are unable to conceive and have no children, but you will conceive and give birth to a son. Now please be careful not to drink wine or beer or to eat anything unclean, for indeed you will conceive and give birth to a son. You must never cut his hair, because the boy will be a Nazarite to God from birth, and he will begin to save Israel from the power of the Philistines." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, we thank you for the power that your word holds. And Lord, we ask and pray that God, today as I preach this message, the Lord, you will give us hope. That Father, you will, again, I ask you to regenerate our hearts and minds and let us be excited, Lord, about coming to your house each and every Sunday and also doing your work each and every day and serving you. Father, I pray this message today that, Lord, you will speak to us and everything that would come from your Holy Spirit and not from me. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Give me one quick second here, and I've got to do this thing where it won't shut off on me. And I forgot to do that, and I apologize. Okay. Today I want to preach this message. It's a message of hope, restoration, coming back. It's also about regrets, failures, and mistakes. Now, as I just read in the text, the Israelites had once again done evil in the Lord's sight. Now, reading the passage, you can clearly see that the Israelites did this quite a bit. They were with God. Then they would get the devil would turn their minds away from the Lord, and they would start to dabble in things that were not of God. They were getting involved in evil things. And the Lord detests when we do things that are of the world or of the enemy. And so God handed the Israelites over to the Philistines, the Bible says, for 40 years. Can you imagine? Now, you know that the Philistines, they were evil. The Philistines served a false god, and that false god was Dagon. And the Philistines believed that Dagon had answered their prayers and delivered the Israelites unto them, but that's not the case. And in the same way, the Christian life today, we see a lot of Christian people who serve the Lord, and then when they get away from the Lord and their attention gets turned back to the things of the world, they start to drift away from God. And people do. They don't read their Bibles. They don't pray. They don't go to church. And then they fall back into the world. And then later something happens and they realize, well, I better come back to the Lord. And it's during those times when we're away from God that we experience the dark things and heaviness of life. We don't have any hope outside of God. But with the Lord, when we are walking in covenant with the Lord, that now God is always with us. But I believe firmly that when we step out of fellowship with the Lord, now God is with us because Jesus said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." But I also believe that that his hand of blessing and protection is taken off of us when we choose to follow after the things of this world. Now, in hope and restoration, for that to take place, we as Christian people, we have to realize our mistakes. Judges chapter 16 and verse 28, I want to read that real quick. 16:28 says, "He called out to the Lord, 'Lord God, please remember me. Strengthen me, God, just once more. With one act of vengeance, let me pay back the Philistines for my two eyes.'" See, this is Samson calling out to the Lord. And before, and that's the child that I read about in chapter 13 that was going to be born, the child who would go against the Philistines and bring victory to the Israelites. They were talking about Samson. And Samson, as long as they didn't cut his hair, he possessed a very unusual strength that only came from God. But anyway, Samson himself, he had sinned. He had chased after Delilah, who was a woman of the Philistines, and Samson was not supposed to be with her, but see, Delilah tricked Samson, and Samson got his hair cut. He lost all of his strength. And when the Philistines got a hold of Samson, the Bible says they gouged out his eyes. And it's in there. You can read between chapters 13 and 15 about it. But Samson realized his mistakes. He realized that he had gotten away from God. So in this passage of Scripture, he is calling out to God, asking the Lord to give him strength once more. And we know that Samson had pushed upon the pillars, and the place where they were at came falling. Now, and Samson was killed as well, but the Philistines were destroyed in that. So when we start to realize the mistakes in our lives, we have to realize that that is conviction from the Holy Spirit. And when God's Holy Spirit starts to speak to us, I believe we should perk up our spiritual ears, and we need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and convicts us, it will affect us emotionally, not from the brain, but it will affect our heart. See, Jesus lives in the heart, and the Holy Spirit works within our life. And our hearts will be broken to a point where we will feel bad for the things we've done. And I'm telling you what, this guy right here, when I preach a lot of these messages, you know, they always say, when you don't ever point your finger at the crowd, a preacher should never point his finger at the crowd, because there's always one pointing back at him. So I'll never point the finger and say, this is how you got. No, this is how we all should live. But when we get away from the Lord's word and we start to drift, and I've done this before, I've gotten so discouraged in times of ministry that I ventured out on my own and I wanted to do things my own way in ministry. And I just basically told God, hey, it's going to be this guy's way and not your way this time. And I'm sorry, Lord, because I was rebellious. I was prideful. And did I ever pay the price? I suffered. And when I got to a place of brokenness, I was basically like Jonah in the belly of the fish. I came to a realization, and God has had to put me in places that I didn't want to be. But sometimes God has to put us in a place to where we will open our eyes. See, God wants us to keep our eyes fixed on Him at all times, because when we start to depend on our own understanding and our own ways, we're going to fall by the wayside. We're going to lose fellowship with the Lord. And when we're walking in fellowship with God, I tell you what, it's going to be some of the sweetest moments of our life. It's also a spiritual awakening. You know, when God gets a hold of you And God, have you ever been in the midst of something and you didn't like where you were at, and the Holy Spirit started to shake, basically shake the foundation of your souls? I kind of compare that to when my father would say, I'm going to take this paddle and I'm going to use it on your rear end, because he would say, when I smack you on the rear end, I hope it wiggles them nerves that goes right to your brain to make you see what point I'm trying to make. So I understood when my father disciplined me, I understood he was trying to make a point. And in the same way, God will have to discipline us and put us in unpleasant moments to make us see what he's trying to say. But we should, that's why I always say, we should never stray from God. So be careful, you know, what you're involved in. And I always say this, be careful of preachers that you watch on TV, really. I mean, there's preachers out there, every week they're telling people how they can become richer, how they can have more money. Well, you know what Jesus used to say in ministry? Jesus used to say, sell everything you have and come and follow me. Jesus never said, follow me and I'll make you rich. I'll make you the richest man on the face of the earth. He never said that. And there's even preachers on TV who are saying, if you can think it, it will happen. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. The devil is working to deceive. The Bible says to us to test the spirits to see if they are from God. So what? Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what you're partaking in. Be careful what you read. Be careful basically about the music that you listen to, the TV programs. Because if there's a lot of negative going into you, then there's going to be a lot of negative junk that comes out of you. If you put bad gasoline in your car, it ain't going to run right. If you eat bad, unhealthy food, you're going to feel sluggish and have a lack of energy. But if we're putting good things of God into our spirits, then we are going to know when the enemy comes up against us. We will know and be able to differentiate the voice of the Holy Spirit and when Satan is coming against us, because Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light because he wants to trick and deceive us. Next, repentance. Acts 8:22. And let me flip over there real quick and read Acts 8:22. Acts 8:22 says, therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, your heart's intent may be forgiven. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours. And we're supposed to pray to God that our heart's intent will be forgiven. So what's inside of us? We should be crying out to God daily. Father, I've done evil in your sight. Lord, I have failed today. And Lord, I feel terrible for what I've done. And you know, I always find it very helpful that I confess the sins that I have committed. You know, if I've had a bad attitude or a negative thought or whatever, then I say, Lord, I confess to you that I've had a negative mindset, or maybe my attitude or actions towards somebody wasn't really genuine like they should have been. And so, Lord, I confess of that. And Father, I didn't pray today like I should have. I didn't spend time with you the way that I should. So when I confess these things before the Lord, I just feel like I'm getting the junk out, and I'm asking God to forgive what was inside of me, because see, we should all be seeking the righteousness of the Lord in our lives. We should be seeking a changed life every single day that we live. And the only way we can get there is by dying to the flesh, nailing that old man to the cross and living by the Spirit. When we live by the Spirit, we will bear good fruit. And if we're bearing good fruit, then the world, those who don't know Jesus Christ, they will be able to look at us and they will be able to tell that we are Christians by the fruit that's inside of us. And repentance, it always comes from the heart. Nothing ever comes out of this brain. This brain, that the mind is the place, that's the battlefield. That's where I hear a lot of people say, man, boy, if I could just get my mind in the right place, I'd be all right. No, we've got to get our heart in the right place, because as I said a moment ago, that's where Christ dwells. Christ dwells within the heart, and we've got to get the heart to overcome the mind. If we get the heart in the right place and we are led by our hearts, we are led by the Holy Spirit, then it will overtake the mind, and then we won't have the negativity coming out of us. But the repentance is heartfelt. It is genuine. And when we repent to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, then we are doing a complete turnaround, a 180. Someone asked me one time, they said, well, preacher, don't you mean we do a 360? I said, no, because then you'd be right back at the place you ended up. You always want to do a 180. Turn away from the things you were doing. Don't be, I mean, people back in the Bible days, you remember when Moses was leading the Israelites, and you remember when Moses would be away from them and he would be in the presence of God. You remember one time that the Israelites, they melted all their gold and they made a calf. They made this golden calf and they started to worship it after everything God had done. So as God's people, we should always seek and keep our attention and our thoughts and our hearts on the Lord, so that we're never enticed to walk away from Him. Repentance, it's an attitude rather than just a single one-time act. Thirdly, our reaction. This is where we see the hope. When we have come to the Lord and when we have asked God to forgive us of our sins and a change has taken place, the Bible says that when we are forgiven, our sins are cast as far as the east is to the west, and God remembers them no more. But who is it that still hangs on to the sin and the guilt? Who hangs on to it? We do. We always do. The devil comes along and says, now wait a minute, you ask for forgiveness, but do you remember what you said or what you did just the other day, how terrible it was? And then you find yourself going, oh, golly, why did I do that? I'm the most terrible person in the world. Nobody's going to like me. I'm just a failure as a Christian. I might as well give up. I might as well quit trying because I always fail. Well, my grandfather used to say, when you fall off the horse, you get up, you dust yourself off, jump back in the saddle, and you keep going. You'll never learn to ride that horse if you give up early. Well, those words stuck true because I can't tell you, even just a couple years ago, or right a year and a half ago, I was at that point. God, I'm done with the ministry. I'm ready to quit. I can't believe that you would put me in a place like this. I can't. And I started blaming God for everything. And the Lord quickly opened my eyes and said, this was all your own doing. It wasn't me. See, God gives us good things. So when God gives us forgiveness, we've got to put on that forgiveness. We've got to put on the peace of God, and we have to robe ourselves in that righteousness. It's all because of the shed blood of Jesus. And we have to say, Father, thank you that you have forgiven me, and I am forgiven, and I'm going to walk in that forgiveness. And when the devil starts talking to you, you've got the power of Christ inside of your heart and life that all you have to do is say, Satan, get behind me. That's what Jesus did. Jesus did not let Satan have just even the most... Satan presented the opportunity, but Jesus didn't bite. The hook and the bait were there, but Jesus never took it. And that's the same way with us. You have to reject what Satan is putting in front of you. You have to do the 180 and you say, Lord, I am going to walk with you because I know, Father, that even when I do fail, your mercy and your grace, they are new every moment of every day. See, we have to get it inside of our minds and our hearts and lives that God is love. God is perfect. And God is the one who provided the sacrifice on the cross. And when Jesus died and shed that blood, it was given to us to live under that new blood covenant. And so now when the Lord looks at us, when God sees us, He sees us redeemed by the blood of Jesus. He sees the new creature that we have become in Christ Jesus. But we have to get ourselves right, and we have to stay there. Now, I've had some people tell me, oh, Brother Jim, it's just too hard to live as a Christian. Really? If Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead with power and glory, and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, then how is it so hard to live for Him each day? The only reason that it would be so hard to live is if we're still stuck over here in a sinful nature. If we're living a sinful way, then yes. Because you can't love God over here 1 minute and then go over here and date the devil and expect to have a healthy relationship with God over here. That'd be like a man having a wife here and saying, oh, honey, I love you. I give my heart. I'd die for you. I'd take a bullet for you. And then over here, he's got him another sweetie. Oh, well, she don't matter really that. But honey, I love you too. See, a relationship like that doesn't work out. There's no balance there. See, that person in the middle is going to be living a life of turmoil, trying to please two different ladies. And it's the same way in the Christian life. We're trying to love God here, but we also have our love and attention over here to the devil because we don't want people to think that we're weird by living for this love. So we're going to do what this one says when we're not at church. Now, I heard a guy talking yesterday at the funeral home. We had a service yesterday, and I heard him talking, and I thought, boy, if this doesn't sound like a human, it's a human flesh talking. But he said, you know, I saw this Christian who was a singer, blah, 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 and boy, she just cussed somebody out. And he said, when I saw that person, I said hello to him. And they were like, oh, well, hello, brother. How are you? I thought, doesn't that seem... And I've heard people say, I tell you what, Brother Jim, we've been on our way to church before, and man, we've fought and we've had discord. And the moment we got to church, we were like, all right, before you get out of the car, you better straighten it up. Let's put on our holier than thou and let's get in them doors. And really, that's what this kind of life does. Love this one and love that one. Well, the Bible says we have to love one and we have to hate the other. If we love Jesus, it's going to show. It's going to show in everything that we say and do. Really, it is. And if we're having trouble loving certain people, if we're having trouble, you know, being in fellowship or being in the same church or whatever, the answer is not going to another church and serving somewhere else. The answer is, Lord, this is what's going on in my life, and I need help with this. And I submit and surrender whatever part of my life it is, I submit and surrender it to you, and I ask you to change me, and I'm willing to change. See, when God sees that we're willing to do His will and walk in His ways, then He will step in, and He will start to make changes in our life. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So see, we're not supposed to live our lives pleasing people. And you know, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm not doing that at all. But what I do want to say is that I've pastored some churches, and one church had two ladies in there, and one come up to me and she said, "Here." I said, "Well, what's that?" "That's your sermon for next Sunday." And I said, "Wow." I said, when did you take the Lord's place?" And she's like, "Huh?" I said, "Well, let me tell you something." I said, "The Lord will give me the sermons He wants me to preach." And I've always stuck to that. Now, I tell you what, when I first started out in the ministry, I used to preach the messages that would basically soothe the ears and make, I wanted people to like me. I didn't want people to despise me. So I would preach the make me feel good sermon so that when we all left, everybody was happy and harmonious. And then I started to realize that I was putting people and myself in a dangerous spot. I have to preach the truth of this word. And that's exactly what I'll do. I will preach the truth of this word. And so the messages that the Lord lays upon me, that's what I will preach. And if toes get stepped on, then you need to say, "Well, Lord, thank you that I've been convicted today. Thank you, Lord, that you've made me realize what I need to change." Don't ever hate the messenger, because the message, when it comes from the Lord, we all need to listen. And them whippings never felt good, did they? Especially if you got whipped with a switch. I used to try to go find the smallest switch possible. I would break off a little twig like so, and then I'd say, "Please don't beat me to death." But I'll always preach this word as it is. I don't preach out of any other book. I don't preach what someone else's doctrine is. But I preach what God wrote from Genesis to Revelations. And like I said, we may not like it some of the time, but we also at times we need ourselves tested and tried so that we will continue to change. Because you know what? If we're not changing, we're not progressing. And if we're not changing, God can't use us. If we just stay one way for a long time. And I hear people, "Well, we don't want to change because this is how it's always been. And that's how we're going to keep it." Well, you know what the Bible says about the person who keeps looking back? They're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. It's in the Bible. So we can't keep just looking back. See, we've been given hope. We've been given new life and forgiveness. We're supposed to look straight on ahead. I preached that last Sunday. You can't drive a car if you're looking in the rearview mirror. You're going to have a big wreck. And devastating consequences come from that. But, you know, when you got this big windshield out in front of you, God gives you so much to view. All we need to say is, "Lord, you take the wheel. I'm going to sit over here and I'm going to listen to what you say, and I'm going to enjoy the view as we go through this journey of life together." So I want you to know this morning, God loves you. And if there's something in your heart or your life that you need to get right with Him, you can either do it here at the altar, you can do it at home, wherever. But I encourage you to quit holding on to anything you've been holding on to. Get rid of it, because it keeps you from a full relationship with the Lord. When Jesus comes back, what's he going to find us doing? What's he going to find us thinking? Or when we die, what's the last thing we did? I think I preached one time about the dash between the date you were born and the date of your death. Well, those two dates aren't really what's important, the birth and the death. But that dash is what's important, because that represents you're alive. What was your life filled with?